Blog Talk Radio.
It's your host, Derek Gale Randall, your co-host. I'm here with my other two co-hosts. It's Chris Bus, but it's two other individuals in the studio with me. So what y'all got for him today? It's a good thing.
What up, world? It's your boy Bone. What's good?
What's going on?
That's it. That's all T gonna get you, so we'll move on. And start the show off like we always do, with the end of note. And I'm going to throw this out there before I go into the end of the note. And the note is a little deep this week. So, I'm putting it out there first, but we're going to move on into it. First topic, KKK gives out goodie bags to recruit new Knights. Apparently, living in a post-racial America means the Ku Klux Klan uses candy to recruit people. Residents of South Carolina subdivision woke up Sunday to bags of sweets and flyers that read, "Save our land, join the Klan."
He got it.
The Smarties.
I'm sorry.
I told you it was sick. The Smarties and Peppermints were left as part of the Hates Group's National Night Ride, held three times a year. Given that that housing is not as segregated as it was during the Klan's heyday, several recruit packages ended up on the driveways of minorities. In that aspect, the Ku Klux Klan does not discriminate. A high-ranking member of the Ku Klux Klan said, and I quote, "We can't tell who lives in a house, whether they're black, white, Mexican, gay. We can't tell that. And if you were to look at somebody, house like that, that means you're being pretty much a racist. End quote. This is Ku Klux Klan said. This is Ku Klux Klan said.
Oh.
What's y'all take on the recruitment that's still alive today in 2014? And on the fact of the aspect that they look at, they take from what they're doing.
Okay, first off, I'm going to jump right in if you don't mind. First off, if you thought the Klan was dead, hello, they still here. They just obviously are changing their approach. They realize in today's age,
yes,
they have to change their approach. Whoa, that tells me a lot right there.
See?
I think I'm done, because right now I'm stunned right now a little bit.
And dude, now, they doing this, and like the article said, you don't know nowadays because it's not segregated like it was back in the day. So that's like me going out of my community putting out something for Black Power. And my community is predominantly Caucasian. So what do I expect? Who am I recruiting or am I trying to make a point? That's my thing.
So are you saying that the Klan has changed so much that they just trying to recruit anybody that wants to save their land?
I don't even think that's it. I think they are trying to recruit anybody that's willing, but they have to fall into the guidelines they want in their group. I think on the other side, they're trying to pretty much ridicule those that are not. Because as a Black person or a Mexican or a minority, if I find this in my doorstep, I find that insulting.
I would have been a little shocked.
Yeah, okay. I would have been shocked. I'm like, at this day and age.
Right. So, I think maybe it's a little bit of a slap in the face. Like, you know, we here still.
Yeah.
Basically. You know what I'm saying? Whether you thought we was going or not, we here. I wouldn't have touched that candy.
I wouldn't have touched that.
I wouldn't have touched that candy at all. Okay.
Me personally, not shocked, not surprised. We're laughing, and it's funny at, you know, the punchlines and all that, but at the end of the day, it's just a reminder that the war is going on. The war has never stopped. We just felt we got in a better place, so there was no more war. I'm going to say this, I'm going to be honest now. It might sound crazy, but I respect the fact that they are preparing for their war. Whatever their war is, they're in preparation. What are we doing?
Lost.
What are we doing?
Don't realize that it's still going on. Done got comfortable, complacent. You can say whatever you want to say about it. We're not doing the same thing they're doing.
Like never mind the race thing. Like, there's a new war that's about to pop, or that has popped off, and it's a class war. If you're not a part of a certain class, you will be left out if you don't understand what's going on around you. That's just the bottom line. Now, this KKK stuff, it would be ignorant of a person to think that they died. And I get that life happens, and, you know, because we've been given or granted certain freedoms, liberties, it would be easy to think that that type of thing doesn't exist anymore. But...
yeah, I feel you, T.
This is just your reminder. Now, the question then comes back to, what's your preparation?
They got this.
They showing.
And at the end of the day, I mean, and that's a good point you hit on, even though it may not be respected a lot because you individualize the Ku Klux Klan and different minorities, the fact of the matter is they united and they stand. It's phenomenal because that's what it's going to take. Now, granted, the way they're going about it is probably not warranted because it's not true love openly to everyone. But they're united in what they believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't respect what they stand for.
Right, right.
No, I don't respect that. I respect how they go about their mission.
Right.
If they showed up right now today in any inner city neighborhood, how many neighborhoods are prepared for that? to stand and defend your community. How many of our communities are prepared for that?
It's true. That's a true point. That's a good point too, because
because
what happens is, just like with this, you kind of caught off guard, and goes back to the Air Force thing. Why you put your hands in your pocket? You should always be ready. And with that, I mean, when you look at it that way, as a culture, as a Black American myself, or African American as we've been called over the time, as time has evolved, we need to unite. They doing it.
They ain't stopping.
They never stopped.
They never stopped. They never stopped. And that this should be an eye opener to us.
Yeah.
They are ready.
Yes.
They not preparing.
They're ready.
They ready.
They're ready.
They wouldn't do this if they weren't ready.
Because they knew the news would get out.
Yeah.
I don't care if you know. I really don't care. Who knows what we're doing?
Exactly.
Because you're not prepared to stop me.
That's scary, man. We gotta get ourselves together.
Man.
We prepare for each other, so we think.
Their spokesman said to look at a house and say whether it's a white, black, or Hispanic person lived in it would be racist.
It would be racist.
Yeah. He's making a fool out of you. This is what he's saying in the interview. Yeah, that would be racist of me. Which everything I stand for is racist.
It's racist. But they don't consider themselves to be racist. They consider themselves to whatever.
Yeah, you really can't explain.
They really explain it, but they're a club.
Yeah,
almost. It's almost the sense that they're trying to come up with. We are a club of white people.
Whatever they stand for and whatever they consider themselves, I think one thing we can't disagree on is that we know that they are nationwide, and we have no idea who they are.
Yeah, and they're right in our face.
That too.
We have no idea who these people are.
Or as the younger say, that part.
Yeah.
That part. So you have to be constantly prepared.
We ain't ready, man.
We're not ready.
No. But I mean, it does show us that the things that we may think that are not relevant anymore are still relevant. And the things that we're not in touch with, we probably should get in tune with. And this reminds me the fact that we need to unite. So even though this may be a bad article on the standpoint of just looking at it from the outside of the topic, the Ku Klux Klan, if you really look at the unification that it shows and the approach they're taking to say, hey, I don't care what you think about me, I'm still going to do it, it shows us a positive outlook from that standpoint.
That's a military. I'm willing to stand, fight, and die for what I believe.
Yeah.
How can you fight that if you don't got the same mentality? You can't fight that. So, on that note,
I move on to the next topic. It kind of falls into the same thing. It kind of falls into segregation. But it's a little more new age, revisiting the past. First Lady Michelle Obama visits Topeka, Kansas, to visit the Brown versus Board of Education National Historic Site. On May 16th of this year, it marked the 60th anniversary of the landmark Supreme Court decision that outlawed racial segregation in America's public schools. After touring the site, the First Lady delivered an equally poignant speech to the graduating class of Topeka's high school. Insightfully, she said, and I quote, "Many districts in this country have actually pulled back on efforts to integrate schools, and many communities have become less diverse as folks have moved from cities to suburbs. Our laws may no longer separate us based on our skin, color, but nothing in the Constitution says we have to eat together in the lunchroom or live together in the same neighborhood. There is no court case against believing in stereotypes or thinking that certain kinds of hateful jokes or comments are funny. Never be afraid to talk about these issues, particularly the issue of race, because even today, we still struggle to do that. Because this issue is so sensitive, it is so complicated, so bound up with painful history, and we need your generation to help us break through." What do you think about that?
I think on the surface level, she's absolutely correct.
I mean,
well, again, it goes by, like you said, I'm sorry, it ties back into what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not aware of what's going on around you, how do you live?
Yeah.
Are you just here occupying space? Like, how do you live if you don't know what's going on around you? The things that matter, I'll say it that way. Not just what's going on around you, because some of it is put there to keep you distracted. But, again, I think the whole issue is class at this point. It ain't about race so much no more. It's class. If you don't fit in my gender and you can't stand next to me and hold your own, I'm not concerned with you. I'm just not concerned with your well-being.
You think even with that, though, the color of my skin don't play into your outlook?
It does. It does, because they intermingle.
Mm-hmm.
Race and class
mm-hmm.
intermingles.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of upper class, I mean, without knowing statistics, I would say it's majority white.
Yeah.
You know, while middle class, lower class is majority minority.
Yeah.
So, yes, they intermingle for me. The simple fact that the First Lady made a point of saying the things she said. She could have easily gotten up on that stage and said, we're in a better place
mm-hmm.
than, you know, racism is may not be dead, but is in a better situation. Or she could have easily gone and said something of that along those lines, and we would have been all right with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the simple fact that the First Lady made a point to say that we still have a long way to go,
mm-hmm.
I commend her for that. I appreciate her for that.
My question is, do we think, you saying we have a long way to go, do you ever think we'll reach it? Do you ever think we'll get to the point where that is just not an issue?
To say that would be to say that ignorance will eventually go away. And I don't think ignorance is going anywhere. So, to answer your question, no.
So, if we don't believe that it is going anywhere, and which in turn means that there are people who want to see your demise simply because you're different from them, how did we lose the idea of preparation? How do we get to a point where we're not concerned with that?
Like I said before, we got complacent. We got comfortable. Because we made a little bit of progress,
mm-hmm.
we say we've arrived. And we say all the time, there's no such thing as arriving.
And even with that, me personally, I'm of the belief that it's not impossible for us to get to where we need to go. I strongly believe all things are possible through God. So, and my understanding of that, I can't believe that at some point it will get better. But for it to get there, and it has to be a but, for it to get there, everybody has to understand that same understanding.
And that's what he's saying. Ignorance will never go away.
Yeah.
I kind of tread that line because there will never be one force. If good is present, evil is somewhere in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I have to believe that. Like, you never get rid of evil. So at the end of the day, there are going to be people. Now, they could become the minority.
Yeah.
That can happen. And then their outlook or their intent, their agenda, their whatever, don't hold as much weight. That can happen. But until then, what do we do? You just sit back and wait for it to pop off and see how it play out. Because that's what we have right now.
Well, that's true. That's true, but the last will be first. And we know that. I know us three, we know that. I can't speak for everyone, but we believe and understand it. So, in understanding that, it's a reason we last right now. Because at some point, we're going to be... Now, getting there is the preparation. That's where the preparation comes into play. And a lot of that takes, for me personally, and it's just my opinion, is getting an understanding with your own self and God. That's it, spirituality. You have to. Because I can't change everything around me, but I can change a significant amount of things around me if I change.
Okay, I want to ask this question. Because I'm sure if there's somebody listening who... Anyway, I want to ask this question because I want to know. In getting your understanding with God and living according to what you believe he tells you to do, how do you tie that into the first article that you read, the first in the no subject? What do I do with that knowledge.
You mean as far as them, as the Ku Klux Klan and what they're doing?
Yeah, any force that opposes you.
For me personally, anything that comes up against me, opposes me, I'm trying to get something out of it. Just like with that article, I took out of the fact that they unite. That's where I need to try to go get, from my understanding, with someone around me who has the same understanding, to unite so we can go spread it. Now, right now, they may be first as far as the Ku Klux Klan. But if I'm last, that guarantees me being first at some point. So I have to start somewhere, and taking the positive out of seeing that, that's all you can do. Because like you said, at the end of the day, it's always going to be an evil to the opposition of good. But, here go that but again, and it's a good one. God is undefeated, undisputed, and no recipe to be beat. So if I'm that good, I'm going to win evil. Evil can be here. It can stay. But I'm confident in what I'm at.
I need y'all to hear me. I got to say this.
There we go.
We are on the doorstep of a conflict that is involved on both sides. People who believe wholeheartedly in what they are fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
We sitting here saying that we, you know, love God, will prepare us and all this. They are saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Ku Klux Klan, they're not atheists.
No, they're not.
They're not Satan worshipers. They are God-fearing people.
And use the Bible to
and
back
use,
up their
it
people.
Uses the Bible to enforce their beliefs.
Yeah.
We doing the same thing. Do you realize how intense this struggle, this battle will be on both sides?
No, not at this point, no. You know why? Because they don't buy into religion. Religion would keep them from doing the things
they
do doing.
Mm-hmm.
Religion has us in a place where we feel like we shouldn't fight it. We can't, that's not of God to fight it. But I read a scripture somewhere in the Bible where it said that the violent take it by force. Now, I don't know what that means to anybody else. But at the end of the day, like, he don't give you understanding to sit back and say, okay, I'm okay with whatever you do to me. No. No. You stand on yours, and yours mean what it means to you, but mine means something, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you ready to do what you want to do about yours? I'm going to do what I do about mine, and we're going to see who God wins. If we want to put God in this, then let's put him in this. But at the end of the day, what else is there? What else do you do? You either, it's one or two choices. You sit back and allow it to happen, or you fight.
I sit here and I'm thinking, you know, and, about stuff, seeing the news about, you know, these Middle Eastern companies, countries
mm-hmm.
bombing themselves. Mm-hmm. They bombing their own people because of their religious beliefs. That war has been going on for centuries. We need to prepare for that.
Do you think it can happen in America?
We as Americans need to prepare for a religious battle.
Oh, man. This is great. I like this conversation.
Yeah, I feel you too, Bone.
It's been happening for a long time. We just don't know it.
Mm.
They just ain't physically dropped the bombs, but the war's been going on for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I told you.
You did.
I warned you.
Warned us.
So I will close it out like we always try to do on a positive note. Not saying that anything prior was unpositive, but we're trying to close it out on a positive note. Intentionally. ESPN's longtime anchor and frontman Stuart Scott was honored at ESPN's ESPYs Awards recently. ESPN anchor Stuart Scott was honored at Wednesday's ESPYs Awards with the Jimmy V Perseverance Award for his ongoing battle with cancer since 2007. In accepting the award, Stuart invoked his namesake, and I quote, "To be honored with this, I know I have a responsibility to never give up. I'm not special. I just listened to what the man said," end quote. And he's saying this I'm trying to find the right word, but he said it in reply. That's the best word. In reply to Jimmy V when he first originally came out on in retrospect. There it is. Thank you, Bone. On the ESPYs Awards back then. I don't even know if it was ESPYs Awards. It might have just been someone on ESPN. And he said, "Never give up. Never give up." To end the speech.
Hmm.
Going on with Stuart Scott. Before beginning his speech, a video documented Stuart's treatment as recent as the previous Sunday and rolled back to work showed the lively anchor in a doctor's room. Drained, struggling to smile for the camera, he said, "I'm not losing. I'm still fighting." He managed to tell the camera. "I've got to amend that," he said on stage after he got his award. After it played, the video played and that was shown on stage, he said, and I quote, "I've got to amend that. When you die, it does not mean that you lose the cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner which you live," end quote. Stuart continued and addressed his two daughters as his heart beat. He called his daughter from her seat to come up and give him a hug on stage, because at that moment, he said he needed one. Preceding his speech and his hug, Stuart thoughtfully closed his speech, and I quote, "Have a great rest of your night, and have a great rest of your life," end quote. I thought that was beautifully done by Stuart Scott, and I thought ESPN honoring him in that manner. And watching it and seeing the backstory on it, Stuart Scott, since 2007, has been coming to work and undergoing chemo treatment. And when you see him on air, the only thing you notice is his weight and his size has fell off. But besides that, his demeanor, his liveliness is always there. I have to highly commend him for, and his statement is true. The manner in which you live and how you live is the exemplification of how you beat anything. And cancer is not beating Stuart Scott. A lot of people don't even know Stuart Scott is battling cancer.
I didn't know it until you just told us the story. And I apologize for my ignorance. I didn't know he was battling with cancer until just now. So, like you said, though, that's a story for his strength, his heart, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure his belief in God, you know, all of that. That's what's up, Stuart.
It's a reminder, man, that the space that you occupy is not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Make the best of it. He has found a reason to make every moment count. Time matters to him. I can't say that it did or didn't before because I didn't know that, but in what he just said, time matters. It's not a matter of winning or losing. It's what I do, what I have right now. And if I got that understanding and choose to do what I feel and believe in my heart to do, I cannot lose. I cannot. So I respect that. We tend to take, it's those things that we take for granted. Time being one of them.
Yeah.
Look at how much of it we waste on insignificant
things. Yeah, that's true. And the beautiful part of it was when I seen it back, when he called his daughter up, she had her shoes off because she had been sitting down, and I guess she probably been expecting to call up. So she went up on stage barefoot and hugged her dad. It was one of those precious moments. And he really just stopped in the middle of his speech and said, he called his daughter by name and said, "Come up here. I need a hug right now." Yeah. And when he hugged her, he continued and he told everybody to have a good rest of the night. Good rest of their night and have a great life.
In that moment, he could have chosen to wait.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in front of America. I got all these cameras on me. I got a speech to deliver. I realize I need a hug. I can get it as soon as I finish this speech. No, who guaranteed me the time?
Right, exactly. That's perspective.
Who's to say he would have been able to walk off that stage?
That's perspective.
I realize that right now.
In that moment.
And this is more important than this speech. So hold on for a second. If y'all don't mind, bring my baby up.
Nah, he wasn't worried about no hold on for a second if y'all don't mind. He could care less about what anybody thought, how anybody felt. You won't cut the cameras off if you won't. I'm finna get this hug from my daughter right now because it means that much to me.
And it was so genuine. And like T point out, at the end of the day, when you look at it and think about it, it's somebody who done came into the understanding that I don't have all the time in the world. So every moment, I'm going to make it count.
It got to count. What I believe I need to do in that moment, I'm doing.
It was beautiful.
Imagine if we all can grab that understanding. and live according to. What I need to do in this moment, I'm not going to wait 10 minutes from now. I'm doing it now.
You do. Especially if you get it from an understanding where it's a positive, you know, drive behind it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's beautiful. Even I can't say that. I can't bring myself to say that. Because I want to say even a negative standpoint, to stand out and do what you need to do in the time you have is good. But ain't nothing good in negative. So I can't.
I wish you would have, because I would agree with you. You just made the wrong decision. It's not that I just don't, personally, I probably wouldn't respect the decision that you made, but the motivation behind the decision.
Right, I respect
the You fact. Can never lose respect for that. Yeah.
And that's true. That's true. That is probably where I was going at,
I get it. Yeah. You don't want to condone. Yeah.
Well, with that, we'll wrap up the end of for the day. As always, we hope you enjoyed it. We're moving to today's show. Today's show is so eloquently titled, What She Thinks, and we have two intelligent, indulging, and very respected ladies who are going to join us today as our guest hosts. Before we bring them on, I want to introduce them to our listeners, and in doing so, I'm going to do it concurrently, so bear with me, please. Ms. James is a mother, first and foremost. She has a beautiful 13-year-old daughter. Currently serving as a policy analyst for the federal government, she also finds the time and commitment to oversee and own her own business, Achieving for Success Consulting. With a bachelor's of arts degree, in communications, accompanied with a minor in American Sign Language from University of South Florida, Ms. James has indulged in higher education. She also has earned a master's in arts in public administration and a master's in science in post-secondary education. Currently, she's obtaining her doctorate in industrial and organizational psychology. Ms. James has undertaken many achievements in her career thus far. However, her time as an adjunct professor with Hillsborough Community College, she credits with being a truly fulfilling experience. Moving to our next guest, Ms. Washington owns and operates Dainty Vibe, a boutique, but it's not your average boutique. Ms. Washington's entrepreneurial drive and savvy has allowed her to tap into a growing market with a blazing appeal. Dainty Vibe specializes in trendy, eye-catching, head-turning calendars, planners, journals, sketchbooks, and greeting cards. If that's not enough, Dainty Vibe also assists with writing important letters for any occasion. Book publishing will also be available soon through their services. Ms. Watson is blazing a trail, all the while enlightening the world with her ever-present, thought-provoking, and soul-stirring, as well as passion-based daily Facebook posts. These two inspirational, driven, and exceptional women are our friends, which gives us, and myself, and my co-hosts, great and unwavering pleasure to introduce Ms. Tanisha James and Ms. Celia Washington as our special guests this evening on Thoughts of a Brother.
Good evening, ladies. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. How y'all doing today?
We are doing well. And you guys, how are you doing?
I can't speak for them, but I'm ready. Yeah. Yeah, we're ready, you know. We're ready to get a good show on the way. We're very excited, and we look forward to, we know. It will be productive. With that, I guess we'll turn the reins over to the ladies.
Yes, sir. Kick this
and
thing
being
out.
That T.O.B. has decided to turn the show over to What She Thinks, so it won't be Thoughts of a Brother. It'll be What She Thinks today. We're going to pretty much open up the topics for you ladies. So go ahead. Have that.
Uh-oh.
It's still on the line? No, we're here. I'm here. Is Celia on the line?
Ms. Watson, is you with us?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, good, okay. Good.
Okay, so you turned over the show into our hands now?
Yes, ma'am.
Here we go.
Okay. All right. Let's get it started. Okay, well, my I have plenty of questions from different ladies, different walks of life. So without further ado, first question. One of the ladies asked, who has more problems letting go of the past, men or women? Which I could have texted her back and said men, but I'll let you answer it.
Wait, you can't put that out there and just like all of that. Give at least me, if nobody else, some type of explanation why you just automatically assume it's men.
Women get over stuff quicker than men do.
Get over or
mm-hmm.
don't bring up? Because I don't think y'all get over.
Get over and get past it.
I personally, this is Billy speaking, first of all.
Okay.
Personally, I feel like, you know, men let go quicker. That's just how we're built. But I think a woman holds on to things, they hold on to something forever and won't bring it up until they feel it's necessary to bring it up. So I disagree with you in a little bit in that case, but...
See now, and this is Derek. Wait, let me answer. Don't do it like that. This is Derek. Just for my reply to that, this is what I think. Female ego is fresh. And if it's, it is hard for it to come back. The female, on the other hand, I don't know because I'm not a female, but I can say from my involvement with females, I do such to see that they kind of get over in the outward moment initially quicker than the male.
Mm-hmm.
I think the male ego, once it's bad, he gonna have to react. I think the female over here, she can take that, but she gonna hold it till later. And when it's time to come up, they'll look out.
In that case, then, I want to retract what I said earlier. Allow me to retract what I said earlier. I'm going to say it's about even. I think it's more so a people issue than a male or female issue.
Okay.
I mean, once a man's heart is broken, speaking from my own experience, you know, it's hard to heal a broken heart of a man. A man, he will change his entire outlook on life after a broken heart. You know, a woman, on the other hand,
she'll learn from it.
You know, it's not saying a man won't. It might take a little time. You know what I mean? So, because, you know, as a man, we tend to build walls, women too, but a man's wall is harder to break down than a woman's.
Mm-hmm.
And while a woman may look past or let go your past regret, what's the word I'm looking for? They'll overlook your past mistakes.
Transgression.
Thank you, Dad. You know, a man may not. A man may hold on to that, and then the next woman is affected by that because he still ain't let go.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what her question was. That's what she was referring to. Why do they have more of a? Well, you explaining why he has more of a problem letting go than a woman does.
Yeah, it seems like it's equal to me as well for both men and women because we both hold on to things for a longer period of time. However, you all just deal with them differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll hold on to it, and then later on when we get angry, we will throw it in your face. But you all are keeping inside and then have to, like, as the relationship ends or whatever the case may be, then like you said, then that next woman has to deal with those issues that you have from that previous relationship. So I can agree that, you know, we both deal with them, you know, differently, but at the same time it's similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're off to a good start.
Yeah, I was just saying it is. It's very similar. I don't see a lot of difference with that myself. Yeah.
Y'all gonna have to keep me in check because this y'all the host today. We kind of just sitting back.
Okay, so
are
we rolling?
Okay.
Okay. So, can we move on to the next question?
Yes.
Hey, y'all in charge.
Okay.
Tanisha. Okay, so here it is. Okay, you all know that as the years go by, the women are becoming now the breadwinners and a lot of the households. And so what's happening, and I'm noticing that too, is that we're getting a lot of men that have issues with the women as far as jealousy, envy, and things like that. And so at the same time, these women are the breadwinners. They still want these women to come home and perform. How do you all deal with those type of situations, or have you ever dealt with those type of situations?
Anybody want to answer?
Not everybody at once.
You know what? I'm going to throw this on Corey.
Why you doing that? I'm a guest, man. I'm just listening.
Answer this one, boy.
Okay. Yes, we have moved into an era where women are more likely than they were in the past to be the primary breadwinner in a home. Great. It's fine. Me, personally, as long as you still remember what to do with the bread once you win it, I'm okay with that. That's just my personal approach. Now, once you go into the mindset of now that I become the primary provider in the house, my roles within the relationship change, it's a problem. Nothing outside of this relationship should determine or change who you are in this relationship. Just me.
Right.
Now, this is Derek. Go ahead.
Wait just 1 minute, Derek. Tanisha, at the end of that question, did you mention something about performing?
Yes, I did. So they still want the woman to do the same things as before. You want them to still come home and, and do everything.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. This is Billy. All right. Now, if I'm all for there being a equal opportunity for both the male and female in this relationship to reach for their dream. Mm-hmm. All right. I feel like that's needed to be in a healthy relationship. I need to feel satisfied in what it is that I do, and I understand that you need to feel satisfied in whatever it is you do. Okay? If within that, my wife becomes the primary breadwinner within our family, then I'm okay accepting that.
I didn't say I wasn't.
What I feel like you're saying, Corey, is that, okay, I'm willing to accept the fact that you are the primary breadwinner. You need to still accept the fact that I am the head of this household.
Absolutely.
All right. So, and whatever setup you have in your family,
mm-hmm.
if the wife is the one that comes home and cooks and cleans, that's the role that she played in the beginning of your relationship before she came to primary breadwinner, then that's her role throughout.
Now, I'm not saying, I'm not saying that I won't assist in anything that it takes to make this household work.
But I'm glad you cleaned that up.
Switch roles. Yeah. No, I don't got to clean it. Hold on now. I know you're running it, but we're not going to get to a point where it's okay for us to switch roles based on your occupation or your profession.
Right.
We're not getting to that
right.
point.
I
got you.
If you got to work late, okay, ain't got a problem cooking. We ain't going to work late
right.
every night, though. Somebody need to understand you got a family at home. We're not doing that. We ain't working late every night.
But the back side of that becomes when I work
late every night. It depends on that position that woman has. Now, it may be really extenuated circumstances that she may have to be at work late throughout so many times a week. So then.
Well, that's a conversation when this is presented, the right way to do that. Is if we had a system working before this opportunity presented itself, the right way to approach that is to have the discussion and be honest as far as we know, this is the impact that it's going to have on the system that we have. Are you willing to accept this? If I say no, for whatever reason, or if I say yes, then I have to live with my answer. But don't just say, okay, well, this is an opportunity for me to do something different, So I'm taking it, and you're going to have to deal with it. No, that don't work for me.
And to catch up with this conversation, I mean, with this topic, I want to put this in there. This is Derek. I want to say this. I'm a man, first and foremost, right? I can't sit here and lie and say it won't hurt my ego if my wife is the breadwinner in my family.
I don't care about that. Honestly, I don't.
I can't say I don't care.
Because
I'm not being real with myself. Now, I would be able to take on the role. I don't know how comfortable I'd be with it. Mm-hmm. And in saying that, though, I do understand this. As the breadwinner, on the other side, as the male, as the head of the family, it's certain times that I may stay out late or have to stay late to work or do things over, and she accepted. So I would have to be the same way when the role was changed.
Right, but it's not a norm.
No, it's not, and that's why I don't accept it. I mean, right. That's why I feel uncomfortable with
right.
it, because it's not the norm.
It's not the norm.
We're not raised.
Right.
I know us three. We're not raised to sit back and let our wives take care of us and run our household.
No, don't have
so, it may not be today's time right, but that's what was embedded in us.
I want to ask you a question, though. You said you would feel a level of uncomfort if your wife became the primary breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I'm going to tell you why. and it just comes back to the makeup of me as a man.
Uh-huh.
I don't need for nobody to take care of Derek. I can take care of myself.
Right.
And with the taking on that role, I understood when I took on the family, it was my responsibility to take care of that family.
Mm-hmm.
At any point in time, if I fail that, I feel like I'm failing my responsibility as a man.
Okay, but just because she makes more money?
And she becomes the breadwinner. Now, for me, when I say breadwinner, because we can see breadwinner different ways. The breadwinner means she's in charge. She's running.
No, that's a totally different word to me. Breadwinner to me means you make the most money. The most money.
Yeah, I think it's.
Right.
I think she's just referring to her making the most money.
If you got the most money, you probably calling the shot.
No,
let's be
see,
real.
That's right. Where the problem comes in right there.
Right.
But that's where the problem will be.
No, the problem ain't going to come here. Not with me. Cause
so you think, what? I understand that.
No.
But I'm saying, you don't think opposition will come up if it's all of a sudden you don't have, you're not bringing anything into the house. Now when things go wrong, that's going to be the first thing told out.
No, because your money don't.
No,
don't
it shouldn't.
No, it don't. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but I'm saying what you're saying.
And
you're saying
a lot of men say that it doesn't. Yeah. A lot of men say that it won't, but then when it comes down to it, push or shove, and that woman does bring in the most money, then later, a lot of times later on, it does become a problem in the household. And that's why I brought up the fact of the jealousy piece of it and the envious piece of it because of that.
It's pride.
Let me tell you what it is, if I can say this. Let me tell you what it is.
What it is,
when she becomes the breadwinner, she automatically assumes the role of leader. That's our fault because we allow her to do that. I don't give a damn how much money you bring in this house. And but one person that's leading this family. And if you can't understand that, when you get to the place where you primary, you need to find another place. If you can't understand that I'm still who I am, regardless of what kind of money you make.
And see, that's logic, though.
You in the wrong place.
But that's logic. And you remember what we had a conversation on logic. That's your understanding. That might not be her logic.
I married you before you got this, and you knew who I was.
That don't mean she gonna forget it when she get
that
charge.
That's fine. I'm not changing.
But that don't mean she ain't. That's what I'm saying. You gotta be prepared for that.
No, what I'm saying to you is, if she understood me before we got married, if she understood what I stood for, my principles, my morals, what I thought family was, and my place in family.
Right.
If you understood that before we got married. In the marriage, there is nothing that should happen that should make you think automatically that that's going to change. If you get to that understanding on your own, ain't nothing I can do about that. I am who I am. My role is my role. Your
right.
role is your role.
But you're still married, though. And now she got a different understanding from you. So how that work?
If you, I'm going back to before we got married. We have this conversation before we get married.
But we both know, we all know things change in a marriage.
Yeah, well. I'm one of them things. That ain't not that. That ain't. Now you got a decision to make. You got a decision to make.
I get it. I'm just playing dumb as
I think if you were in the situation, though, Corey, I think your love
mm-hmm.
for that person,
mm-hmm.
you would change.
Change what?
I mean, you would change your outlook.
This is talking
to you. You know who you're talking to?
I know who I'm talking to. And,
yeah.
I used to be you. You know what I'm saying? I used to be that man. I'm not changing for nothing.
It's not so much. I don't like that word change because it sounds, by me saying I'm not willing to change me, that I won't bend to accommodate the situation. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm not going to compromise my beliefs because of the situation.
Okay,
the
Go
ahead.
Okay, what about a situation where, okay, like her question was, what if there's not an issue of disrespect? It is, she respects you, you're the head of the household, everything is flowing smoothly, it's in the right order, but the only thing is she just happens to make more money. You're making money and you're bringing money into the relationship and you're bringing money to the table, and there's no separation of the money. The money is going into the same account. And nobody's
then
in that situation would you still have a problem? That's the only thing. She just happens to make more money. Then would you still have a problem with that one issue?
Nah.
Okay. What about you, Derek?
A real ha ha. You know what? In that instance, I'm still gonna be uncomfortable. I'm just gonna be honest. But
you're just gonna be uncomfortable, period.
I'm gonna be uncomfortable because it's the belief I have.
In your belief,
that's
you
understood.
Think that in your belief, your position is tied to what you contribute to the relationship, or to the family, or to the marriage, or whatever. Who your role and where you stand is all tied into what I bring into this, not who I am in this.
From an ego standpoint, yes. But from a truly internal love in my wife, I can play that role. I have no problem with that. I done played plenty of roles I never thought I'd play because love showed me that. So that's why I say I know I can open up to it. But ego, ego as a man, I'm not going to sit here and tell no lie. That's going to bother me if she make more money than me. It's going to bother y'all too. Y'all just talking your ass off.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. You are not wrong at all in that statement. Yes, it would, but eventually, hey, I have no problem staying home. Make six figures.
No. Listen, you're not staying home.
She's saying you go to work.
You're not staying home. You're working too.
No. And don't get me wrong. That's not what I want either. I don't want to stay home. I would be more uncomfortable with staying home than I would with her just being, you know, the breadwinner of the family. I'm still going to work because that's me. I personally would not feel right sitting home all day. Me personally. So I'm still going to be...
Oh, okay. Well...
So for me, when a man has an issue in that situation, then that's just the ego, that's insecurity, that's those things peeking their head out in your relationship. That man has...
That's what's up.
Okay,
I mean,
so
let me
go
make,
ahead.
$50,000.
Mm-hmm.
She make $35,000. How much money we make?
$85,000.
We make $85,000 a year, right? Let's say she makes $70,000 and I make $15,000. How much money we make a year?
Let me say $85,000.
What's the damn difference? I'm asking you, what's the difference?
We got 85.
We have 85.
I know in my mind, all that
matters
there.
But
I tell you like this, you better keep her. If she making $75 and you making $15, you better keep her.
You better
keep her happy.
Yes. You need to keep her on your team. Right. And I think, too, like this is directed to Derek, but, you know, Derek said that's his belief system, which I kind of, I'm on that level, too. I feel like you should be making more than me. And, you know, as long as you have it, I have it. And, you know, I'm still bringing something to the table as well.
So can I ask you
a
question? I think this is Ms. Washington, right?
Yes.
okay, if you go into a relationship and your guy is making set amount of money, he's been on his job for 10, 15 years, he's making this money, you know what he makes, this is what it is. You go through school, you get whatever education you get a career where you happen to be making more money than him now. Should he leave his job in order to top what you make?
You know,
I don't think so.
Don't stutter, now talk up.
No. it depends on what the job is to me, because everybody should prosper, and I feel like year after year after year, there should be some type of advancement and some type of incentive for you to stay on that job. But if your income is staying the same year after year after year, I think I may question it. But then if he's happy and that's where he wants to be and that's not causing any friction in my household, that's something that I would just have to accept, because it means the world to me to be happy with what I'm doing. So if he's happy, then I have to leave it alone.
It does, but it seems like at the same time he's at a standstill. He's
yeah,
not
so
looking
it's like,
at moving.
Yeah,
so.
it's a catch-22. I don't know with that one, because yeah, I'm going to be looking at it as okay, let's find you something better to
right.
do.
Right.
But at the same time,
wait,
if
but
he's
why
happy,
I got to own something better? I told you. But look at it. Look at it this way. Look at it this way. Okay.
I told
you. You're the primary breadwinner in your household, right? And in that role, you allow your other significant other to go to school.
Right.
Okay? You pay the bills, they're going to school. They're earning a degree, they get that degree, they go to find them a job, and now they're making more money than you.
Right.
Okay. Now, where I think Ms. Washington and Ms. James is coming from is not now we need to sit down and have another conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's just as important
oh, no.
for them
I was
for
saying,
them to
no.
do.
My comment was directed before that. Before he go to school and start making more money than me, not after.
No. That's
is
what he
that
said.
What
he
you're
said
saying?
He allowed you to go to school, and he allowed
oh,
you
okay.
to get. He worked to support the family while you went to school, and you got the education to get the better job. And now that you get it, and you're working in a position where you're the primary breadwinner, he's saying that the conversation needs to be revisited.
Exactly. Now we need to sit down again, because now you've reached your goal, or one of your goals. You've reached one of your primary goals. And
okay.
also you have a goal of you want more for your your significant other. So now we need to have a conversation again. I'm not satisfied with me being in a better place. I want you to be in a better place too.
Mm-hmm.
You put in this time and effort to support the family while I reach my goal. Now I feel like I should return the favor.
Wait, but why are you trying to return a favor that I may not? I'm not going to say that I don't,
mm-hmm.
but I may not want.
Well, that's why.
I was able to support us when you
mm-hmm.
didn't make anything. Remember that fact.
That's why there needs to be a conversation.
I believe this, though, and I've seen a similar situation and actually experienced a similar situation. I believe this. If I'm going to push you to go back to school, or if I'm supporting you to go back to school, I need to carry my tail back to school, too. I'm
right.
going to progress just as sure as you progress. We progress together. I'm not just letting you
I
progress
agree.
So we can sit here and so one of us can outdo the other.
Wait, but
right.
I get all that in the context of the conversation we're having and the people we are. I understand all that. School is not for everybody.
Right.
So for those people who have no desire to go to school but yet are being productive in society by going to work and providing for them families, if you make it hard for them to find a good woman by automatically assuming just because that's what you want to do, I should want to do the same thing. I'm good. I was taking care of us. My income was taking care of the family while you did that. That's something you wanted to do. I supported you. You made it. Now let's live off of what we make. Why I got to change what I do now?
That's why there has to be communication.
Yeah.
You have
right.
to communicate that. I'm okay where I am. You know, they may want you to go back to school. I don't want to go back to school.
I support you.
I want to go
oh,
back
well,
to
I, can, I mean, I can understand that. If the person does not, if the guy does not want to go back to school, that's fine. That's why I said if he's happy there, then I might have to just leave him in that happy place.
But eventually it becomes a problem. But eventually that becomes a problem. Eventually that becomes a
Why
problem anyhow.
Why does it come down to leaving anybody? He took care of you.
No,
he
no, no.
To
no, I'm not. No, I didn't. I'm not leave. I'm not. I'm not referring to leaving, breaking up, leaving. I mean leaving well enough alone.
Just accepting the fact that he's happy where he is.
Right, accepting the
fact.
But Ms. James does have a point, though. At some point, it's going to become an issue.
I think that's where it comes in when you get you need to get somebody where you equally yoked, because two equally yoked people are going to see that we both want to prosper. You know, two people that's on the same level and they have that same mindset, they're going to keep doing, hey, you doing this, I'm getting ready to do this.
That's right.
Once we get that, we're going to add something else. So I guess you have to be with somebody from the beginning where you have that same mindset in mind, so you don't have that friction on the back end. You're trying to change it on the other side of the broom.
Right, and that's an important point, because we tend to do things backwards a lot of times. Had we had this conversation before we got married, this would have never been an issue inside the marriage. You know, going into this, where I am and where I'm trying to go. I know where you are and where you're trying to go. Do we line up? Okay, now let's do it. Let's come up with a plan to do it. If we don't, just because you look good and I like the fact that you're next to me, I'm going to set myself up for a problem 3 years down the road that I really don't want to handle.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We're going now.
We got to, because that's the issue. And BJ said it when he was like, communication. We don't really talk before we get married. We don't.
It's true.
So we don't talk after we get married in a lot of cases. And that's where we fall off at, is that communication falls off, or it was never established in the first place. So for me, that's what it boils down to. There's no problem with Billy Boston being okay with his significant other progressing through her life, doing whatever it is she wants to do with her life. I have no problem with that. You know what I'm saying? If you feel that you want the same for me, then we need to sit down and have a conversation so I can express whether I'm okay with where I am or, okay, since we're having a conversation, yeah, I would like to go back to school.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you willing to support
me now that I want to go back to school?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and accept that role of still cooking and cleaning, even though you're making the most money while I'm at school. It's a lot that goes with that. Are you okay with that?
Yeah,
and I think it's depending on the household. Like somebody said something. Once you get your system established, work that. Stick with that. Make it, you know, make it happen. But I don't mean to cut you off, but are you guys, I'm going to take a side street, are you guys going to invite us back on this show at some point?
Hey, check this out. The show ain't over yet. Give us some time.
Okay.
We only did the second or third topic right now. Give us some time.
I have a whole list of questions from a bunch of different ladies. So if you're going to invite me on, I could save some of those questions for the next show. If not, then I'd like to move to the next question.
Let's move on to the next one. Not saying that you won't be invited, but let's move on anyway.
Okay. Well, the next question is, this is my question. This is for me. So when you answer back, you answering you to me. So I want to know, okay, I have a 14-year-old daughter. I'm single, and I keep meeting guys that want more kids. Now, yes, I want to get married, settle down, whatever, we travel the world, whatever we do. But children, I don't want any more children, to be honest. I've been a mother. I don't need a son. I don't want to know what it feels like to have one. I don't even want to try. And if we mess up and we get a girl, I don't want another baby. So, like, how would you deal with that situation? You meet somebody, everything else is good. Everything you dreamed of, but I don't want another child. But that's something that you want.
That is a major conversation that needs to be had off rip. As soon as we're even considering getting serious, we need to have a conversation about children. Because if that's something as a man that I believe wholeheartedly in, if I don't have any kids, and I want to have kids, but at the same time I like where we're going in this relationship, then that's a serious conversation we need to have. and I need to come to grips with either accepting the fact that I won't ever have kids or try to convince you into having one.
And
or,
see, that's what
maybe,
that's what I've been running into.
And that's the good thing about dating, because at that point, when you all are having those discussions, you can, you know, like I do, move them on out the way. Yes, right. A process
there
of elimination.
That's
because when I have
that
question, because when I get that question, because I'm the same way. My daughter's 13, and no, I will not have any more kids. So when I do get that, that allows me to eliminate the guys right off back and not even have any more discussion with them, because there's no need. Let me move on.
Okay.
I think it's unfair,
well,
too. I think it's unfair. I want to put this out there. Derek, I want to say this. I think it's unfair. If I really love you and I find myself moving forward in a relationship with you and seeing myself being with you, the fact that you tell me you don't want to have kids and you have a child that I can make my own, I think it's unfair to that woman to say to her. Because it's her decision. It's totally up to a woman, I believe, what she does with her body as far as with children. And understanding that, if she's fine with where she's at and I want to make a life for her, I believe love can outweigh your want for children. Because you can make that child yours.
Mm-mm, sorry, my turn.
Go ahead.
You gave it to me. I wasn't going to say nothing, but that right now? No. You are two people who have desires, who have wants, who have goals, who have whatever. You meet each other, there's an initial attraction, that's where the conversation comes from.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, start being honest with each other right then.
Right.
All this, what's your favorite color and what you like to eat, I don't give a damn about that, I'll figure
mm-hmm.
that out later. How many kids you got? Do you want more? I want more. In this conversation, you don't want more, I want more, there's nothing else for us to talk about. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a problem. I ain't in love with you at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't in love with me. You don't want what I want. I know that. Why would I continue to go down the road with somebody that don't want what I want? It's conflict.
You'll be,
and it don't make sense.
You'll be surprised who want to continue to go down that road after.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something
mm-hmm.
that is discussed afterward. This is something that they think I will change my mind. No, I'm not changing my mind. I'm telling you up front that that's a no go with me. But you know, like somebody just mentioned about somebody trying to change your mind. You can't change my mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but at the end of the day, now you're intelligent enough to know that I don't want kids, and this person has not heard the fact that I want kids, and I know this is important to you. Why do you keep going on with the conversation? Why do you keep entertaining the conversation?
No. Did you? I didn't say I kept
don't
entertaining.
Don't give them the opportunity to try to change your mind. Like, we don't want the same thing. We're going to run into problems, and it's unnecessary. We don't have any connection right now. Now, if I keep hanging out with you, I keep going out, we keep doing things, now I'm starting to like you more. Now I'm starting to question the things that I already knew I didn't want to do. All this conflict
right.
is going on inside. No, be honest from the beginning and make a decision based on what you know. It's real simple.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I can see how that can be difficult, though.
It's very.
I can see when you
if you like somebody's heart,
right. When you especially
you can change.
When you vibing with somebody and everything about it feels right, and that's the one thing that y'all differ on, I can see how it can be difficult to just let it go. But yeah,
how
think,
important is that to you?
And that's what it boils down to. How important are kids or not having kids to you? If it's that important.
And that's my point, bro.
If
I stay with you, I'm saying to myself, it's more important to be with you than it is to have another child with you. So I shouldn't be keep bothering you about having children.
Not
at
really,
point,
because I could stay with you thinking that I can live with that and then get to a point where in the relationship.
That's true,
exactly.
Too.
This is more important. I knew this was important to me.
Then your love for a child is more than your love for that person you're with. So you shouldn't be with them.
You should have did that in the beginning,
right.
is all I'm saying. Have that conversation. Once you realize that there is a major difference.
But that comes, in this instance, I understand that. But which side are we saying that? Because she asked the question from a female perspective. So if I'm the male and I'm going to think I can change her and find out later my love for kids is more important than my love for her, that's my fault. That's not her fault.
Absolutely.
So
it's both of y'all's fault, though. It's both of y'all's fault.
Why is it her fault? She told me up front.
But she still allowed you.
No, she told me.
Listen, she
regardless
knew the
what
same
she did.
She knew the same thing that you knew. And that is that you wanted kids and she doesn't. Both of y'all know this.
Right.
This is a difference. It ain't
right.
going nowhere. If you try to fool yourself into believing I can live with you with this in me, that's the problem. No, I know that this person wants kids. I know I don't. You have a decision to make. She has a decision to make. Both of you be accountable for the decision that you make. Now, in that, if he, after 2 years of getting in love and this, that, and third, he walk away because that, now she has to deal with that because I knew at the beginning he wanted kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Both of y'all got to deal with
that. You're correct. I believe that, too, that it's both of their faults because, like I said before, that I know that I don't want any more kids, and you tell me that at the beginning that you do want them, then I have to cut you off. And
exactly.
A lot of times, us women, because we're very emotional, and I always say this one thing is a lot of times we won't listen to what that man is saying. We won't hear him. We'll listen to him. And so he've already told us at the beginning that he does want kids, but we're saying no. But because we think that we're so emotionally attached now because we've allowed that relationship to move further, that he'll change his mind. But he already told you up front. So
yeah,
that's why
a lot of times. It's not even getting to that point.
And that's right, and that's why I say cut it off. Because that's right.
I mean,
so
a lot of these marriage
really
counselors
pay attention. What'd you say?
They're filled with people who have issues that they knew they had before they got married.
Yeah. Right.
Now, what sense does that make?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
I can understand if I came into the knowledge of something that I had no idea about before I said I do. Now, I wouldn't need help. If I knew this before I said I do, can't nobody help me change my decision?
And that's the point of the sanctity of marriage, how it's being devalued, because I say this all the time. We go and have a marriage in the church in front of God. As soon as you get to the reception, God out of the picture. He may never come back. You know what I'm saying? So you lose the whole understanding of what it's all about. And then when you get in it and it becomes hard, you're wrong.
Selfish.
Yeah.
You walk into it with selfish motives. Yes, she look good. Okay, cool. She look good. I want her. She don't like nothing I like, but she look good.
What taught us that? What made us come to that realization? I know for me, first, I'm throwing out that stuff.
What?
Like, for so many years, we just chased looks and a shape.
Mm-hmm.
Never understanding it was more to it than that.
Because we confuse.
Yeah, I know it.
Compatibility with attraction is what I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you confuse.
Yeah.
Attraction with, you know, being compatible, you know, it is more to that.
I'm going to take the word confused out of it. My answer to your question is a lot of times we're driven by lust.
Mm-hmm.
When lust leads, you end up in a stupid place every time. Okay, well, it ain't got to be a woman, it can be money. When you lust over anything,
yeah.
It ain't going to turn out right. Not if you follow that.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
When you looking at her initially, you don't know nothing about her. You don't know where she come from. You don't know her name. You don't know her age. You don't know her beliefs. You don't know nothing. All you know is what you see. At that point, lust.
That's true. And it drives young men to become grown men that still think the same way. Because I'm going to explain something to you. As a high school student in my teenage years, it was all about me getting with the next chick so I can go talk about it with my homie. It wasn't about me being with her for what she had to talk about or what we was going to do. It was for me to go back and tell. And in realizing that, you go through a lot of bumps and bruises to get to the understanding that I need to know these people I'm dealing with on this level if I'm going to bring them into my life. Now, it took me in my late 20s to get that because I took it from a young man all the way up, and it was the ego. It still goes back to the male ego. At the end of the day, it's all about the male ego. It's about how you perceive and how much you buy into that perception.
Let me ask you a question. This is just like an honest question. How many of us have ever had the conversation of religion? And we know how big religion is in life. How many of us ask what other people's views are in dating?
Religion?
Yeah.
You don't mess with religion. That's taboo. You don't even talk about religion with each other. It's your friends. We won't talk about, and this is the truth, and I just came into sinful I will be openly about my understanding of my spirituality. When I was younger, it was certain people you would be around and you'd be in a certain setting. You weren't finna bring up God or Jesus because at the end of the day, they were going to say you was a holy roller or they were going to look at you differently. So with that being understood, no, I ain't trying to ask you what you, because I might find out your religion different from mine. That's going to throw off the, mess up the whole attraction I got and show me we're not compatible, like Paul said.
No, I'm opening the door for me to find who is actually for me to be with.
On the backside of it, that's what it could have been doing.
All right. What's the next question?
Yeah.
Because this one got me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the next question. We have a lot of women that are more vulnerable now, really losing their self-worth, and that because they're feeling that good men are becoming extinct. I just want to know, what do you all feel about that as far as the good men? I mean, the women are, you know, like we see them all, they're on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, they're twerking, they're doing whatever it takes to get a man now. So because they feel that the good men are basically going away, that they're having to just do whatever it takes to get a man. And they don't. And the thing about it is they're not minding sharing a man.
Can I ask a question? And this is not directly at you, but you can answer it, or one of y'all can answer it.
Uh-huh.
I hear that all the time, that there ain't no more good men, all the good men disappearing, blah, 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 blah. What about the good women?
And you're right. And it's, you know what? And you're correct. And that's why I said the fact that the women are now as well lowering their, you know, their self-worth, they're twerking, they're doing whatever it takes. So a lot of times you all look at it the same way as where are the good women as well, where are the good women. And so it does go both ways, where are the good men, where are the good women. But a lot of times men don't give the good women a chance because they are looking at those women that are willing to exploit themselves or do whatever it is. So a lot of times they don't find the good woman.
Do you consider those men that are attracted to that to be good men?
No, I don't.
Let me go this route, and I'm sorry. I'm crazy. I say that almost every show. I'm crazy. Our intro song is "This Is a Man's World," right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Women have been running this world ever since the first one was here.
True.
So, in saying that, I don't believe that a man can make a good woman. I don't think so. You either are or you're not. But I do believe a woman can mold a man. Everything
That's
we
true.
Do comes back to a woman. Everything. Tell me one thing you do as a man that don't come back to your wife or some type of woman somewhere. Could be your mom. Could be
Just
your daughter.
Just the attention.
The yeah. woman. It all comes back to you. So once you start, and I'm not putting this on you because everybody has accountability,
mm-hmm.
but if women hold fast to their standards, regardless of who comes in and who comes out, you can approach, but if you don't meet what I'm looking for, then I reject. I'm sorry. Deal with it. Eventually, you get what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start accepting, you get what you accept.
No, Ms. Washington, Ms. Jane, I got a question for you, stemming from something Corey just said. He said a lot of, a good woman can change a man. Is that like the common, do all women feel that way? Do all feminine women feel he's a little rough on the edges, but I can fix that?
I wouldn't even waste my time trying to do that. If a person want to change, they will change on their own.
Okay.
But the thing about it is we can't change a man. It already has to be instilled in him. Now, we can bring out that goodness out of him.
Right.
But we can't change him. And a lot of times when a woman really understands that, then she will realize she can't change his man into what she wants him to be.
Okay, now can we pause right there for a second? I want to ask the fellas right here a question. Let's be honest. Put yourself back at being single.
Mm-hmm.
You go out, you meet different women. Let's just say it's something as simple as you don't want to get a haircut. You don't feel the reason, you don't see a reason to get your haircut. And I'm using that as something just that simple. Every woman that you come in contact with rejects you, and it comes back to the fact that you don't want to cut your hair. Do you eventually cut your hair?
That's influence. That's not necessarily change. That doesn't change me as a person.
It changed you. You cut your hair.
That's influence. It influenced me to change my outlook, right?
It's change. I don't care. Change.
Correct. But as a person, we talking about getting to know people. We ain't talking about how I look. So
I just use that as, okay, well, let's put it on. Let's say something about you. What's something that we can say that changes about you? Because
you
women change you.
You smoke.
Sorry.
You're a smoker.
Yeah.
And they don't like the fact that you smoke.
Use that. No woman you come in contact with likes the fact that you smoke. None.
They can't change that. God, the only person can change that. He
okay.
This is my thing. People cannot change people.
So
I don't believe
that. You're not putting yourself back at being single.
If I was single with the understanding I had, I would tell you then you couldn't change me because I had no kind of understanding. With the understanding I have today, I understand that God changed me, and that's the only person that could have done it. My wife may have influenced me to do better. Yes, she did. But she did not change me, because if she would have changed me, I would have done it in the beginning. I changed because God came into my life. That's the only explanation for a person changing. Now, we can go back and forth, and this is just my opinion. But that is how I feel about it. I don't believe I can change her. I don't believe she can change me. I believe we can influence each other and better each other or make each other worse, high up. But for me to internally change, it has to come through my understanding of God.
So if you don't believe that you can change her or she can change you, why do we need to communicate? Just accept me for who the hell I am.
I don't want to change her. I love her
for who she is, not for who I want her to be. The question I asked is, what's the importance of communication then? If you can't change me, and I can't change you, and I know that, and I'm set on that, what the hell is there to talk about?
The same reason we're having this conversation, so she can understand where I'm at. That's it, period. I don't want to change you. I love you for who you are, not for who I want you to be. Because if I did love you for who you wanted to be, I'd never love you. Because you'll never be what I want you to be. For me. Now, this is for me.
I get it.
So, for me, change, I don't see change. I'm not giving down that much credit. God has that credit. I'm not giving you God's credit. No, you don't change. Ain't nobody changing me here on earth. You can't change me. You might get me to do something dumb.
Do you agree that God uses people?
To influence us. I don't believe they can change us. You have to go through your own experience inside yourself to change. I can see you doing something all day long and want to do it. That's not going to mean I'm going to change and start doing it tomorrow. I have to get that understanding myself to change. Period.
Okay.
Now, that's me.
That's you. Mm-hmm. I believe that situations that we deal with people lead to our change. Now, whether that is what wakes up me the question why I do what I do, whatever the case may be, the ultimate bottom line is it came through another person. It came through my interactions with someone.
You really believe somebody else, you will give somebody else on this earth the credit to change you over God?
That's what I said.
That is what you just said.
No, that's what maybe what
you
heard.
Said your interaction with him, you said your interaction with other people changes you.
I said
somebody may
have led to me questioning why I do things the way I do, which ultimately brings change, but I have to still realize that it was that interaction that brought
that. That didn't change.
If you sit with yourself, your life, your entire life, if you never interact with anybody else, there is nothing wrong with you. There is no need for change because you are you. All you have to deal with is you.
That's beautiful, right? All you got to do is
that's not realistic, though. We deal with people
so they can influence you. They cannot change.
Okay, so I guess we said
God is the only person that can change.
Because I didn't use the word influence. It sounds to me as though we said the same thing. You just use people's influence. I'm saying through interaction with people, other people. If I'm honest enough to deal with conflict that comes from those people, to look back at myself, it will never change. Yes, so God is who he is. I get all that. But I'm not dealing with the person, with that person.
I'm dealing with God in the spirit, so I'm never going to lose that.
Ms. James, Ms. Washington, go ahead. Try
okay. Well, according to Merriam-Webster, the influence means the power to change or affect someone or something. the power to cause changes without directly forcing them to happen. And it's in the second definition is a person or thing that affects someone or something in an important way. I understand where both of you are coming from, Derek and Billy. Like he's saying influence, you're saying change. I can be the influence, but it's your decision whether you the ultimate decision whether you actually make, you know, manifest any change. So I don't know if that's what he's saying or whatever. I see it both ways. But at the end of the day, it's just like somebody, a mother and a child. You got a hard-headed child. You want that child to change. You've been trying to change that child for years and years. They're not going to do it until they're ready. You could influence them. You could show them the right way to do it. You could tell them the right way to do it. But they're not going to actually manifest that change until they're ready. So I don't know if... I guess that'll be like the mother is the influence, but the person actually doesn't change until they want to change.
Gotcha.
But I have been around people that make me want to change or make me want to do better, but that's because I want that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they already instilled in you. It's already instilled in you at the same point. That's why.
Go. Hey, that was not me. That was not Billy Boston.
That was Corey T. Washington.
Oh, okay. I have no problem. Change, influence, whatever, influencing me to try to do better, you know, thank you. But in the end, I have to want to make that change.
Exactly. Okay. So are we ready for the next question? Okay.
Yeah, we like this.
So I'll take a little twist in one of my questions. Hold on. Okay. Why does it seem like black men can accept Remy more than they can accept natural hair? Like, what is it that they have against natural hair versus, you know, that long, silky Hawaiian, Brazilian stuff that go down your back to your butt? Why is that easier to accept in our culture versus your natural hair, or somebody want to wear afro, somebody want to wear kinks, somebody want to, you know, just wear their natural hair without a perm? I'm not talking about perm natural hair. I'm talking about natural from root to tip.
Go ahead.
Okay, what has happened?
Hello?
Hello?
We apologize.
Ms. James, Ms. Watson, you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
We have some technical issues we're fighting through over here. But Remy, back to the question. Remy, I think that's
we?
The type of, I think so.
We,
okay.
We.
All right.
Okay.
So you said, why do men prefer that over natural? Is that the question?
Yeah.
You can't say men. You got to.
Yeah, we got to.
I can say for sure the three in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's not the case.
No.
Whatever you have, whatever you are working with that's your own, is always better than going and doing something else when you had to go buy. It's always better.
I hate all that. Billy Boston. Okay. I like to say that I am an advocate for natural hair, you know, being the only one in this room that's rocking locks and will grow my beard out as long as it allow me to let it grow. You know, I'm all about natural. You know, my wife is natural, my daughter is natural, you know, so I like to say that my household is a natural hair household. So for me personally, I can do without all that extra. You know, rock your fro.
braids, whatever, yeah. Rock it. I have more of an issue with you in the bathroom, taking up the bathroom, perming your hair for however long it takes you to perm up your hair. I have more of an issue with that than you have trying to figure out what you're going to do with your hair today.
Now, to try to answer the question for those that do, my belief is simply because society has fed us an idea of what beautiful is. If you don't match that, then we can't consider you beautiful. Unfortunately, that comes with long flowing hair and face looking like a Barbie doll and curves out of the world. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has to be in this certain box in order to be considered cute, beautiful, whatever. No. Who you are is what makes that. And if you don't know that, it's impossible for anybody else to see that.
I'm inclined to believe that most men will accept whatever you present. For the majority of men, it's not how you wear your hair, it's how confident you are in your own skin. So if you're confident with your grimy, then that's going to be attractive to us. If you're confident in your natural hair, that's what we're going to be attracted to. It's the confidence, the self-worth that you have in yourself, for a lot of men, is what's attractive.
Yeah.
And that's mostly for me now. I'm sorry, T. That's mostly for me in a natural state. Like, I don't need a lot of perfume. I like to smell fresh soap on a woman. I like just the cleanliness of a woman. Just the scent of a woman, if she's clean, is a beautiful thing. So in that, for me, I'm all about natural.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about choices, too. And with choices, everybody have a choice. Now, I do believe, if you look at it from the standpoint of a culture thing, the black culture, we're more natural. We've seen the Caucasian or the white culture more be straight hair, blue eyes, makeup, Bobby doll look, and we bought into that.
Yeah, but that's
we don't
natural
need
for
it.
Them, though. That's their natural.
That's what I'm saying. So we need to stick to our natural.
Exactly.
I like our natural. It may be embedded in me. It may be something I just grew to love. And this is, and I mean, my mama never wore hair natural. So it's not like I grew up around it. She has a perm.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, once I seen the natural, and like Bone said, it exudes confidence because it shows me you confident in being who you are, period.
Period.
Period. I don't need nothing else. Now, I'm not saying I'm against people perming their hair or getting perms or doing whatever you want. Like I said, it's choices. But my personal preference, if I have a choice for myself, it's natural. Be who you are. That's the most beautiful thing in the world.
Well, I guess I perm my hair, so I can't even get on that.
No.
But I think a lot of, you know, it's all choices, and I think that where Celia's coming from is a lot of places, exactly, like especially up here in Atlanta, and also because I work in the D.C. area as well, it is a certain look. You know, it's like everybody, you know, is looking at how you're supposed to look on a television, and society has made us all feel like we're supposed to look a certain way. And so, you know, the makeup is just out of control now, and a lot of other things are, but I think to each his own, and I think a lot of time it's just a lot where we are, especially careers and different things like that in our lives. So I had to make some adjustments in my career as well.
And that's what it comes down to ultimately. Like, and I think we all agree on it, it's just about choices. But I don't think we should shine any of them. If a female wants to wear a hair permed, that's fine. It's still some self-confidence in that. If a female wants to wear a natural, that's fine. It's self-confidence in that also. You're going to find the beauty in a person regardless.
You will.
But to discriminate against either one is wrong.
Yeah, but you do get some men.
I don't think
it's
discrimination,
that does that.
You don't feel like it's discrimination, Stacey?
No, I don't think. When it comes down to a personal preference, how is that discrimination?
If
I don't want something, I don't want it. That's, I'm not discriminating against you. I'm not treating you a different way because you look this way.
Well, to the point, if I told my wife I don't want you to wear natural because that's not something I want, then it does border on discriminating against what she wants.
Let me throw a twist in here. For us, you know, not trying to get off the subject, but let's take it away from natural or unnatural hair. Let's say something that a lot of men have to deal with today, tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a fad now that women have a lot of tattoos on their chest, on their neck, on their face. You know, it used to be just men that we know were like that. But now, it's, you know, women are expressing themselves more and going the multiple tattoo route.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that puts men in a situation where they have to decide whether or not that's something that they're okay with. Am I okay personally with, you know, my significant other having tattoos around her neck and on her face?
Right.
I personally don't think I would. I don't think I personally would
appreciate
getting a serious relationship with a woman that has a lot of visible tattoos. I'm going to put it that way,
right.
Visible.
Right.
You can have a lot of tattoos that aren't visible. But I'll say when it gets to the point where it's on their visible part of their arms, their hands, their neck, their face, and stuff like that is going to influence their ability to get a job. I hate to say it, but it will, you know, influence your ability to get a job.
It does.
You know, there's a lot of questions that you're going to have to answer with, you know, children.
And what's the problem with it, though? What is the problem with those tattoos?
You don't like them?
It's a personal thing.
It's unnatural.
Okay.
You didn't come here like that.
Okay.
It's unnatural. It's an enhancement that you went and did that you didn't have to do, which is why I'm saying the same thing about the hair.
Mm-hmm.
When you go and do things that you don't have to do, then it gives me the right to say, I don't like that. Now, if you're doing what you can do with what you came here with, what is there to say?
But that's kind of judgmental, because how am I to tell you what you can't do?
No, I can tell you what I don't like. I ain't going to tell you what you can't do. I can just tell you what I like and what I don't. That's my freedom.
Because, okay, let's put this scenario out there. If we're in a relationship with a female, and we've already moved to the point we're in love, we can even be married, say, for instance. Now, she decides all of a sudden she wants tattoos. Do you leave this female because she has tattoos or because she wants to go natural?
Nope. I'm not going to say I leave you because of the tattoos.
Try to be working, though.
If I leave, it's probably because I stood firmly against the tattoos, and in you doing it, you showed me that my opinions, my likes, my dislikes, how I saw you really didn't matter. It was more so about you. That's fine. I can accept that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to live with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I respect what you told me,
mm-hmm.
and in accepting what you told me, you ain't the one for me.
So is that love, though?
No.
If she got it on her face.
I'm sorry, say that again.
If she put a tattoo, like you said earlier, where it's visible, then that makes a real big difference. The face,
different,
the neck, that makes a difference.
Does it change your love?
It doesn't change love for that person.
I can still love you, but the fact that I know now that you don't respect my opinion enough, you just showed me who you are and who I am to you in this relationship. That don't change the fact that I love you or not. But now, today, it's about tattoos. Tomorrow, it could be about your job. Next week, it could be about the kids. If you don't respect my position in this relationship, that ain't going to change. It don't matter what we're talking about.
Right.
So it's not a matter of whether I love you or not. It's whether you respect who I am in this relationship.
So then, in this instance, and we can go back to the question before, you saying respect is more, weighs more for you than love.
No. I love you. But me loving you don't mean that I got to accept everything you do.
But you can love through it and continue the relationship.
Not when it comes to a at you, how do I stay with you? Love ain't gonna make me look at you.
Then it goes back to attraction. It's not about love. Because you're looking at her.
No, man.
You should be looking at her. It should be her inner being that you love.
No. Okay, so you're telling me if you married to Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
And Tammy come home and say, you stand totally against something.
Mm-hmm.
You're firm against it.
I've been there.
And she say, okay, well, I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to have some type of impact on how you view yourself in her through her eyes in your relationship.
Yes, but I ain't going to stop loving her because I believe I can love her about.
I didn't say I stopped loving her, but it takes more than love for a relationship to work. Maybe that's the way.
No, hell no.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
I believe you got love, you don't need nothing else.
Okay.
Well, now, I believe
disagree.
That. Because now if we believe the definition of love, and love is kind, love will conquer all. If we believe that definition, then you can't say that.
I said, and I'm sorry, ladies, but I said when we were having the conversation on love and respect that they were equal. They tie one in another.
Right, I get that.
My love is for you. If you don't respect if you don't respect me, then how can I say that you love me? It's one and the same.
If you love me, you don't have to respect me. I can get over being, this is an ego thing, because I need respect. Why do you need respect? I need this love. If you love me back in return, I don't need your respect. It's going to happen sometimes you're going to disrespect me.
That's
I know that. I'm married. I know that happens. It happens in relationships. It happens. But I have to love you.
I've been married too, which is why I can tell you that it takes more than love to make a relationship work.
We got a caller. Let's get this caller in real quick before we get too deep.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Okay, looks like we lost them. But yeah, I mean, to each his own. Everybody has their own idea. That's why.
I think love doesn't have anything to do with it when it involves that person getting something that affects not only the family but externally as well. So when that person does something, she goes gets tattoos on her face or whatever the case may be, and this woman has a job where she's, you know, in the face of people every day, and she makes this type of decision, then love has nothing to do with it. You can love a person, but she has now caused some issues internally and externally.
I agree with you. I don't think it's an issue
I don't think it's,
of love.
No, it's not an issue of love. It's the issue of this person loving her family and herself enough to make the right decisions about certain situations.
So
like
how
that.
You gonna take love out and put love in
there? What I'm saying is,
I'm crazy about love.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is I don't think love has anything to do with it when you're saying that this person is just disrespecting, you know, what you've already said you didn't want them to have. It just goes back to saying that I'm saying if that person does love you, and I'm just saying on the other way, if that person does love you and their family enough, she'll make the right decisions not to do that.
Right.
But if
exactly.
you have to make, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I'm going to know how you agree. Man, Cora go back and forth with this all day.
Yeah, and this back at you. I agree that love is what it is. I agree that love can conquer all, but sometimes you have to love strong enough to walk away.
You're right.
Sometimes love requires you to leave.
It does.
That don't change the fact that I love you. I love you enough to do this.
Right.
I understand that. But how much faith are we putting in love, and how much do we believe in love if we walk away?
Totally. I'm willing to walk away from you to get you to understand how much
if
I love you.
If the other person don't love you in return, yes, I get that. But if it's love on both sides, why would you walk away?
If it's on both sides, then the respect is there. Then after me explaining.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to agree with that. Respect is not always there because you love somebody else and they love you back. No, they're not. No,
okay.
You know that's not true.
Okay.
You know you've been disrespected by people that you're friends with, and you know they love you.
Do I?
Maybe you don't.
Listen to what I'm saying. If you can't respect who I am, not the decisions I made, some of the decisions I made you ain't going to respect. But I respect you enough, out of love, to sit down and talk about it and understand why. If we can't get to that, if you don't respect me as a person, how can you say you love me as a person? They go hand in hand.
Well, ladies, we can go back and forth with this all day. I would like to get another question, if at all possible.
This is our mediator.
Okay. The next one is communication, in which we touch bases on this, you know, several times throughout the discussion this afternoon. And as technology continues to advance, we're losing communication in a relationship. We're texting more. We've stopped talking. The communication has basically, you know, faded away. Even for example, dating, where they are wanting to text you conversations and not pick up a phone and have a discussion. So, how do you all feel about that? Because I know myself, and as well as I've spoken to other women, that this texting thing is getting out of control. People are no longer talking.
Well, again, Corey, I'm going to start this one off. We had this conversation amongst ourselves. Me, I'm not one. I don't care for the texting thing. I don't care for it because it leaves too much. It's enough room for error in your interpretation of what I say to you verbally. Meaning if I sit here and talk to you and I explain myself, there's enough room for you and your interpretation to take what I'm saying the wrong way listening to me talk. Mm-hmm. So now when you're reading something, that only magnifies and multiplies the opportunity for misinterpretation. I wasn't saying that. Mm-hmm. A lot of us don't know how, we don't write well.
We write how we talk.
We write how we speak. If I hear you speaking, mm-hmm. I'm able to interpret that. And trying to read what you're saying, it can go totally left.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And tying into what you say also, it depersonalizes the conversation. I'm talking to a machine. I'm not talking to another human. So I personally don't like it, but it is the way of communication. You call a person right now, they won't answer. You text them, and 3 seconds later, you get a text back. I'm like, damn, I text you, you text back, but I call you, you can't answer the phone. What is that?
For me,
it's a situational type thing. If I'm not in a situation where I can hold a conversation, then I'm more likely to probably text. It's a convenience.
It comes down to convenience.
Convenience thing.
So how would we communicate had text never arose? What would we do then?
We wouldn't be communicating. If I can't talk on the phone at this time, then we just not going to talk.
But you would return the call eventually because you know you saw that this person called you.
Right.
Probably left you a message. Right. Call me back. I'm going to talk about ABCD. Then you call back.
You know what I'm inclined to believe, though? I'm inclined to believe we get more responses from texts from people that don't want to talk to us versus.
Yeah.
I believe if you call me and I don't answer, I'm just not going to answer you, period. If I text you back, it's easier for me to text because I don't have to deal with talking to you on the phone.
Right.
So
impersonal.
Those people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You probably should just stop communicating with all together.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, if you don't want to talk, if we can't have a verbal conversation, why should I accept written communication?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
You're not talking to me, you're talking to your phone. You're talking through your phone to me. Nah.
As crazy as it sounds, even though I'm over the phone and I don't see you physically, it's more of a connection than me texting you because I don't feel like it's, like, you'll hide behind a text before you hide behind saying something to somebody personally.
Mm-hmm.
So then it comes back to courage. Why not have the courage to say, hey, listen, I really don't want to deal with you.
Because
then you ain't got to do either one.
Because they gave you a text to make it convenient, and I can deal with you on the phone.
But why would you? That's ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just be honest and say,
well,
look.
Well, people be phoning in your face.
That comes back to love. Why do we care so much about love if you can't love enough to be honest? I really don't see a point in this conversation, in this friendship, in this whatever. It's probably best that we just not communicate. That way, I don't leave no room for it. Said exactly what I meant. How you take it from there is on you. But I said what I ain't got to hide through a text. I ain't got to hide through not picking up the phone. I ain't got to hide through not communicating. I'm going to do it. So, I'm sorry, it probably went somewhere you didn't expect it to go, but it does have an impact on society.
It does.
Me personally, I've been in a situation before where I, didn't take the cowardly route and called, for an issue or something that needed to be discussed, but you didn't hear anything that was being said. So what I did was, I attempted to speak, to have a conversation, but I sent a lengthy text message and instantly got your attention. Through the text.
Well, let me ask you this. What did you say differently in that text that you said in the verbal conversation?
I repeated everything that I said and then added on a lot more.
But you added on some more. That's what I'm saying.
Everything that
had you said exactly what you said, I'm inclined to believe they would have got the same point.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that.
I don't know.
No, I'm saying, had you said, I'm inclined to believe, had you verbally stated the same thing that you wrote out in that text, they probably would have got the same point.
No, that's what I initially said. I said I called to attempt to have that conversation, and I was saying the same thing, but the attitude and the resistance was so strong, but I still needed to say what I had to say, so I sent a text message of the same thing plus what you didn't allow me to say, but you took the text message more than me speaking that.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got 8 minutes left. We want you to y'all to pick the best question you got. We can stay there.
Okay, the best one. Nisha, you want me to pick one?
Go ahead, please.
What were you saying, Barrett?
I said, before y'all ask the question, remember now, y'all, right now, can come back.
Okay.
Don't give them that hard.
We have 8. Okay, well then, since this is our show right now, we have 8
yes,
minutes left, you said? 8 minutes
yes,
left.
Ma'am.
We're going to ask 2 questions. So with this next question, we'll just go quickly, y'all answer it, and then the last question, we can finish it out like that. So this question is chivalry dead, and whoever want to go first?
Yes, it is dead.
Yes, it's dead.
It's dead. Okay, everybody agree? Next question.
Hold on. I just freaked.
Okay.
It's as dead as you allow it to be.
No, I'm saying it can be resuscitated, but right now it's dead.
Okay. Next question.
Okay. Next question, one of the ladies asks, why is it that when a man is in a relationship with a good woman and is happy with her, why does he still go outside of the relationship for sex?
Nope. Not good. Nope. Okay, that one. Corey is signing off. I will see y'all on what's today? Sunday. I see y'all on.
Nah, that's shit.
Oh no! Everybody has to answer.
The only person that can answer this question without
repercussions
has backed out of answering the question. Now that is unfair.
You don't want to hear my answer. I already know that.
Well, we want to hear your answer.
I want to hear your answer.
Okay. Well, let me get mine out of the way.
We have, about 6 minutes now?
Yeah, we got about 6 minutes now. So
let's go ahead
and get his answer out. All right. for me, I'm inclined to believe wholeheartedly that it's insecurities. All right. It's insecurities for whatever reason within that man who can rightfully know that he has a good woman home, but still out there looking for what he could have had or other options. Or we'll say, what I mean? A lot of times, I don't believe men are literally out there looking for sex. I think they're looking for something, attention or whatever it may be that they feel like they're lacking, and sometimes, unfortunately, that leads into infidelities and stuff of that nature.
Wait, now, you're talking about, are you in a relationship with a good woman?
Yeah, it don't matter. Good woman, bad woman, don't matter. If he's insecure, he's gonna be out there searching and looking around. It really don't matter whether that woman's good or bad.
That's
it
true.
It has nothing to do with the woman, is what I'm gonna say. It has nothing to do with the woman at all. I believe it is solely on that man. Whether or not he feels like he's missing something. If you don't feel like he's missing out on anything, then he's not gonna be out there doing that. He's gonna come home to his good woman every day and be satisfied with that. That's just my opinion.
And as this Derek, I second Bone's opinion. I'm passing it to court.
I can see how that could be true. But at the end of the day, we have a lot of men out here who don't live up to the title of man, period. Let's just be honest. You cannot have a problem at home whatsoever, and that thing passed by that sparks your interest, and something in you just got to know. That's just a matter of not living up to, not understanding what a husband, a man, all of that is. It's childish.
Mm-hmm.
It's what, always got to have more. One reason. Another reason, like you say, maybe you're missing something. I don't know, but if you say you got a good woman, I'm thinking, like, you don't have a problem at home. When you say good woman, that's what my
mm-hmm.
mind goes.
Right.
It's an individual answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a question you would have to ask each man you come in contact with who finds himself in that situation. Nobody can give you an answer to that. Because everybody got different reasons why they do what they do. That's the best
mm-hmm.
answer I can give you.
But if he got a good woman, he pretty much a fool.
Yeah, that's what
yeah,
it is, man. You
definitely
don't.
Is a fool. If he know he got a good woman,
mm-hmm.
and you gonna do things that you know can endanger that relationship that you're in, you're a fool.
But we as humans have a greedy nature.
Yeah.
We do. You can put it on. You can have the best job in the world. You're never satisfied. You want more. Greed.
Mm-hmm.
We agree.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, the next time y'all come back, y'all going to have to answer some of these same questions because you got women
mm-hmm.
that do the same thing.
Right.
Oh,
I would
that
like
cheat.
To know why y'all do it. Matter of fact, take these 2 minutes and answer that for me. Why do
okay,
women
Okay, why do women
trying
cheat?
To give them, yeah, why do they do it?
Good question.
Well, okay, we're talking about a woman that has a good man or has a man.
Yes. You
same
have a good man. Same scenario. Read your question.
Oh, okay. A woman that has a good man and she still steps out. She just that's just in her. That's the type of person she is.
Mm. Yeah, I think
she's a cheater at heart
the
because
too safe. I don't like that.
Oh no,
no
that's in
it's
her
true.
Heart. What's mm-hmm. in your heart is going to present in your life. It's going to present in how you carry yourself. She could have a good man and everything else, but she has lustful eyes. She sees something else on the side. But trust and believe, she's not going to want to give up that good man to the same thing. You know, even if he did the same thing, she's going to beat him getting mad. And they both did the same thing. But that's pretty much what it is. That's in her. If you got everything you need right there in one spot and you don't have to woman hop, that's in her. That's the type of person you are. Mm-hmm. You a cheater. You a deceiver at heart. That's in you.
Okay real quick, in 2 seconds, is
mm-hmm.
that something that can change in a man or a woman? Can you change that? I mean, or can a person change? Or once a cheater, always a cheater?
If you want to change, you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that person doesn't always necessarily have to be a cheater.
Right. So I appreciate y'all coming on. I'm going to let my co-host do this. I'm just saying I appreciate y'all coming on. Appreciate
Definitely.
The conversation. Enjoyed it.
And y'all are invited back.
Yeah,
we
can come back.
We
made it to round. We made it to the finals.
You don't catch up again because you truly
enjoyed it. Oh, I made it to round 2.
And we knew we would enjoy ourselves, and we appreciate y'all coming on.
We appreciate it as well.
No, as usual, great show. Especially great because we had great guests today. Brought some light, really insightful questions, and I enjoyed myself. Deuces till next time.
I'm already out.
With that being
Thank
said,
you.
Lock your doors and open your hearts to support. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Boys in unison. T-O-A-D-I.
Until they stop me when I'm